I'm going to give a testimony while I'm waiting. And you know my voice is getting bad, so you, I need a prayer for that too. But I just want everybody to know I am very thankful to be up here. I can't stay the whole day, but I'm thankful for the time I do have to be up here with y'all. I love going to church no matter where it's at, but this is my home church. I'm sorry. We got, and I go in Carbondale, and the people there are wonderful. It's, of course, I knew some of them before I went, like Linda, I knew her. And I think knowing somebody helped me to go to that church. But every church is different. And when you go to some place for such a long time, it really feels good to get back and see everybody. That's my testimony. I love everybody here. This was my nephew's song, and hearing him sing it made me fall in love with it, so I learned it. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the king." They struck him, then they cursed him and mocked his holy name. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the earth and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold my son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels
to destroy the earth and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he dined alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone, and when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's work was planned, was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the earth and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
We rejoice that Jesus did not come down from the cross, but fulfilled his Father's will for us. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to have another speaker. I hope she's prepared or has some. Sister Pam.
Wrote some things down this morning. I just want to thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank him for his goodness. So good to see all y'all, since now we live in the Midwest, we can say that. sorry for my Canadian roots, but y'all. Anyway, but it's so good to be here. I started singing that song in the beginning of the week, and I know it's kind of older, but I don't know how many of you know, we have consolidated down to just under 10 acres. We did have 24, but we live in Burlingame, Kansas. We have shady green pastures. We have a creek that does whatever it wants behind us. Occasionally we have lots of bugs. Our dogs are happy. We love our church. We love our church people, and we are thrilled that we have some with us today. And so God is good. The last time I spoke, I just said, and I need to clarify, I knew that church was there because I visited with mom and dad when Eugene and Sharon had it. And I think some of our adults were just itty bitty, but I knew of the church, but I didn't know the people. And I had no idea when we wound up in Kansas City 6 years ago that God had that plan for us. And then they said, well, could you go help? And we said, well, yeah, we'll go help. I think the first time all we did was cry because we were fresh from losing our son, and we just, you know, it was a lot. And then we had COVID, and we just kept going back. And first it was once a month, and then it was twice a month. And then we were getting looks like, really? And then my mom's like, you know they're going to ask you to be their pastor. And we're like, no, we don't want to move there. We don't want to do all this. And then the Lord just kept working it out, and Penny kept praying, and everybody kept praying, and then it's just like we went every week, and Brian and Aubrey see how far it is every week, an hour and a half each way, and it just went so fast, and God is so good. He opened the door for this. He had this place ready for us. It never hit the market. It just all worked out according to his plan, and so as much as we miss you guys, and we do, we know what we're doing, what God wants us. Although I did give them notice. I said, you know, Roger's going to be 70. There is an expiration date at some point. So don't get too comfortable here, you know, and the Lord's coming and all of that. So just giving you notice. We'll see how, but you know what? It's in the Lord's hands. But anyway, today is Saturday. We had a pattern or a habit. On every Saturday, we always told our son Shabbat Shalom. And so I love the word Shalom. And so after this week's just devastating news, I thought, we really need the peace of God. And I love the word Shalom because it's not the absence of war. It's God's peace. And so I just for a couple of minutes, I'm going to be real short, so somebody else can have a turn before lunch. But anyway, I just want to start and just talk about Shalom. And we understand that Shalom, or peace, was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. It threw the perfect peace that God created. And we have moments, we told Brian and Aubrey this morning, so we have moments out at 1010 North Osage, Burlingame, Kansas. We have moments when it is just silent. And it's just beautiful. And we don't miss the traffic, and we don't miss the sirens, and we don't miss any of it. And then a squirrel will start in, and the dogs will start in, and it's gone. But this is different. It tells us, if you go to the book of in Genesis, it tells us in Genesis 1, along about 31. It says so, and I have a different translation, so just bear with me, but it says, so God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. God made peace. Then it says, there was the evening, there was morning of the sixth day. And then in you jump to chapter 2, and it says, so the heavens and the earth were completed along with their entire array. God completed on the seventh day his work that he made, and he ceased on the seventh day from all his work that he made. Then he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. For on it he ceased from all his work that he created for the purpose of preparing. In other words, God was done. He said, it's complete. And you go by each day, the evening and the morning were the first day, the second, and all of that. And God called it good. In other words, what God called it was complete. So when God created the heavens and the earth, when he made man, when he made this whole experience that we call life, when he did all of this, it was perfect. It was complete. It was shalom. And then we know that Adam and Eve were tempted, and it caused the whole creation to shift from perfect to chaos, from perfect to loss, to destruction, to this loss of shalom. And so the peace that God had when they had communion with him, their hearts were in tune with him. It tells us that he would come down and he'd commune. All of that was lost. And so the fix, we know down the years, moving forward, we know the flood. And God instructed Noah how to make the ark. That was a place of shalom. It was a place of safety. It was really a type of what we were going to experience because of Christ. But he gave them this ark of safety. And again, once again, if we read history, that didn't last very long. So we see that, we know that we live in a fallen world. I don't have to elaborate on it. If you watch any snippet of news, if you, unfortunately, because I look at things on Facebook, not bad things, just things on Facebook, I follow some of the channels that cover what's happening in Israel. And you see all the stuff that's going on in Gaza and all of that. And just the brokenness of the world, the broken, the fallen, the violence, the heartache, the pain, the death, all of these things are because the world is not at peace. These are all visible results of the broken shalom that's from the beginning of time. But good news, Jesus made a way, didn't he? He made a way for shalom to be restored. He didn't come to bring world peace, and that's what shalom, peace is not absence of war. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus didn't come, we know his disciples, many of his followers, Judas included, were devastated because he did not throw over the Roman government and set up his kingdom on earth. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they knew that's what he came to do. No, that is not what he came to do. So instead, he brought the ultimate cure, didn't he? The absolute ultimate cure for all of mankind was the death on the cross. When he rose victorious, he brought peace back. Not as the garden, because this becomes an internal thing. And if ever we see the hearts of men that are just evil continuously, we just look at it and it's like, I mean, you don't have to really be much of a biblical scholar to see we are in the end times. We are at a time when it's just the evil intentions never stop. But Jesus brought a cure. He brought inner shalom. He brought the ultimate cure, as I said, for us to be at peace with God. Because you can have world peace. You can even have peace in your life. If you live at 1010 North Osage, you can go out and camp under a tree, and it's pretty peaceful. And you wouldn't have a care in the world, for the most part. until a mosquito comes along. But you're not going to, but that's not inner peace. That's not necessarily being at peace with God. That's just being in a peaceful environment. But we all know that what the world needs today, what every one of us need, no matter what we go through in our life, we need to be at peace with God, which is what Adam and Eve were before the fall. The peace of the world is not the shalom peace that God offers. In Numbers 6:23, and it just begins in the Old Testament, and we just begin to see this word shalom used over, and I don't have the numbers for it. Sorry, I could look it up, but I had other things on my head. Numbers 6:23-26. This was a pivotal spot. This is a scripture that is a really good one to commit to memory. But the Lord speaks to Aaron, the priest, and he gives them this verdict. He gives them this, what he's, his promise to them as they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan and be at war for years and years and years, and still now for years and years. So they're getting ready to go to war. But here's what God says to Aaron. Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus shall ye bless the sons of Israel. This is a blessing. To know that you have peace with God is a blessing. He says, thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you shalom. You know, the Lord lifting up his countenance, the Lord's looking at you. He cares about you. He's turned not away from you, he's turned to you because he loves you, because he wants you to live in peace. True peace, inward peace. As I said, they were headed to battle. It wasn't going to be a picnic. And then we see in John 14... So Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. And wouldn't it be nice if when something in life was going to happen that the Lord gave you a lot of notice? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he starts saying, you know, starts bringing scriptures to you, starts revealing something to you, and you just begin to dwell on that. And then when you're hit with something, you really are kind of pre-prepared, right? Or then sometimes you just get a phone call and your life is shattered. But Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry, and in his love and compassion, he's trying to prepare his disciples. Did they know about crucifixion? Yes. The Romans loved to crucify everybody and everything. They would crucify animals. They were barbarians. I'm sorry if you're of an Italian descent. I'm sorry. But the Roman government was horrible. This is what Jesus lived with all his life. This is what he lived with. But he's trying to prepare his disciples because they're about to experience trauma like they have no idea. They're about to experience heartbreak. They're about to experience just devastating disappointment. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you, or shalom I leave with you. My peace, my shalom, I give it to you, or I give you. I do not give as the world gives, which is temporary at best. So do not let your hearts be hardened and do not be afraid. And they're probably looking at him like, what are you talking about? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Shalom. True shalom will be the restoration of the peace that existed in the beginning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's beginning to try to get through them to understand that he, despite all of this that he's about to go through, he is going to restore what his Father originally intended for mankind. He is going to restore true peace. Peace with God. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, he was pierced. This is, again, not a translation that you may have in your Bible. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us shalom was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All humanity was given hope because of the cross. All humanity. He came to reestablish our peace with God. And Romans 5, 1 through 12, Apostle Paul just puts out this reminder to his readers. I'm just going to throw this out here to you people that are reading, to all these. I'm going to put out this reminder. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We have shalom with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Through the work of Christ, shalom has been restored and is available today. True shalom, peace, tranquility, well-being, health, completeness, all of those things are ours because of Jesus Christ. And so in these troubling times that we live in these times that we know are the last day, we're not troubled, are we? We look up. Our redemption is coming close, closer than ever. I mean, my mom's sitting here. She's going to be 90. She's not ashamed of that. And mom can tell you for probably 70 of those years, she's heard about the Lord coming. And some of you are, you know, getting in the 80 realm. Since Ty was so kind to point it out that we are all maturing well. But know this, the Bible also tells us that we are complete in him, right? We are mature, we are complete in him because of his shalom. So Shabbat shalom to all of you, and it's good to see you again.
Surely rejoice in the peace of God. I was reminded of, I taught the adult Sunday school class at the Tabernacle for a good number of years, and I read that passage where David was 70 years old, and he was old and well stricken in years. Sister Anderson came to me after the service, looked me right in the eye, and she says, "I'll have you know I'm 70, but I'm not old and well stricken in years." And she wasn't either. So years don't always mean all that much. But praise God for those who are so faithful. They haven't given me any indication from the kitchen yet, so I think we will have a few testimonies. Let's put this down there. Let's have a few testimonies.
Well, I want to give everybody a chance that's out of town to speak, but I know God laid this on my heart. When Pam and Roger were singing that song about he takes us through the fire and the flood, I had studied, I think it was in Isaiah, years ago when I lived in Burlingame, and it was so dear to my heart, and it was like I knew nothing could get me. I just felt so powerful. And I'm sorry, I didn't live in Burlingame. I lived up in Gardner. And anyway, I went to Burlingame after I had studied that beautiful word of God, and I got down to Burlingame, and I went to the pastor's house at that time, and there was a phone call. And, you know, you don't think anything's going to shatter that, man. It was so wonderful. And my pastor got a phone call, and they said, "Is Penny at your house?" No one knew I was going to his house. There was not a person knew, because I didn't even know I was going that day. And anyway, the phone call said that my daughter, Julie, had been a head-on collision. And they wouldn't tell me over the phone how she was, but I kept hearing those words, "The flood will not overtake you." I'm going to take you through the fire. I'm going to take you through the flood. And that was my strength before the trial. And I had to drive alone all the way back up to Gardner, Kansas. And then I had to go on to Olathe. And I get to the hospital, and I'm thinking, if you would have seen the car, it was just a small car, and it was just like an accordion. And my daughter was in the back seat, and they had to get her out first. And when they did, she began to speak in tongues, and she was praying for her friends because she thought, you know, she didn't know if they were going to live or die. And she said, you want to know, Mom? I didn't even know if I was alive. I just know I was talking to God. And then the other girls got life flight in. I mean, it's a long story. But I just want to say that, you know, God has protected and taken us through fire and flood. My daughter had a bruised kidney. That is all that happened to her that day. And, you know, it could have been death. It could have been death for every one of those girls. But I look at it and go, God had a plan. God has a plan in Julie's life. And I thought it was so weird that here this picture, my son brought it to us just this week, and then Pam and Roger sing that song. And if you've seen Julie today, Julie loves the Lord. She's on fire for him. And she just loves getting in the Word. And I can say she's probably one of my dearest friends. I love all my children. But, you know, there's some that you can fellowship in the Word of God. But to think that she could have just been taken out that very day. And it was a large car, and they were going 60-some mile an hour when they hit them head-on. You tell me that wasn't God. I know it was. And we went to the site, and that car was all over the place, pieces everywhere. But God kept the people that were in that car, especially Julie, all in one piece, just a bruised kidney. The other girls had lacerations. I mean, there was broken bones. But thank God. That's the one who's taking care of us. And I just want to praise him for that.
I better testify because we have to leave after lunch. But this morning, Pam reminded me that 24 years ago, we had flown in from California to this Labor Day conference. And I think I preached Friday night, and then the message came Friday on the way from the airport that our grandson had been born in Hartford, Connecticut, or Middletown, Connecticut, and that he wasn't doing well, and they were sending him to the Children's Hospital in Hartford. So we began to pray. Saturday we got another call. He was no better. Now he's in the NICU, and we just kept praying. Sunday, Pam flew out to Hartford, and she went in the NICU and into his room, and there were some family members, not our family, and she said, we're going to pray this baby well. If you don't believe in prayer, you need to leave. And so it was that, you know, when you get down to business type prayer. And we prayed. Pam went in and prayed. That baby went home to his own home, not heavenly home, on Thursday. And that was just the hand of God. And I think about that through the years, how the Lord has done so much. We had a lady in our church, Sister Rainwater, and she got up one night and she said, if I testified of all the things the Lord has done for me, we'd be here all night. And about 10:30, we were like, okay, sister, stop. The Lord had been really good to her. And I feel like that today, that we could just be here all day. If we had time, we could tell you how God has moved in Burlingame and just opened doors and closed doors and made a way where there just seemed to be no way. And I do thank the Lord for that. And I said, I'm a true Kansan because I hit a deer. I bought a grasshopper. It's a big lawnmower. And now we have a little farm. So we just thank the Lord for that. But you know, and bought a little farm truck. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so we have that freedom. And we've met so many people that I think expect us to just start preaching at them. and then they come to church. It's just the most amazing thing. We have a neighbor that's Catholic, and we witnessed to him, and he said, well, we've been Catholic. And I said, we take Catholics. Now they're on our Bible study on Wednesday night. Just those kinds of things, that how the Lord begins to move. So even though, yes, I will be 70 in a couple of weeks, God is still working. I'm not old and stricken, though, but the way that God exhorts us, if you didn't know it, we're being exhorted today. We're being encouraged today. The word exhort is 33 times in the scripture. I had to look it up before. But we're being encouraged today. And that's what the word of God does. I tell them at home, if you get the word and it doesn't bring you joy, you're doing it wrong. Because the word of God brings us joy. That gives us strength, and then we go on.
No one told you. That was my... I got up there and I says, I'm going to give a testimony. And I had on my mind what I was going to say. But after I told him I was going to give a testimony, now I'm going to tell you my age now. Because you think I'm not getting old? And I want you to know I am. Because by the time I got through telling him I was going to get a testimony, I forgot my testimony. And that's... that's happening quite a bit anymore. But my testimony was being down there. I like the fact that I was born in Burlingame, and I'm back in Burlingame for my latter days. But I'm not going to die in Burlingame. I'm going to fly away in Burlingame. And you're talking about how the Lord really watches out for you. I know every one of you in here can tell you how he has come across when you didn't even know that you even needed him. But then you find out, oh yes, I needed him at that time. There's been so many times something would happen that was going to happen, and I knew when it happened, God was trying to tell me that all the time. One time about Patsy, you know, before my sister Pat passed, before I even knew anything was wrong with her, this come in my mind at night as I was sleeping. I don't know whether I was dreaming or whether it was just coming in my mind, but God was saying, now you are going to be all by yourself, and because everybody's going to die but you, so you got to depend completely upon me. Because anyway, sometimes there's times I depend upon my two sisters, because I was a big coward and still am a big coward. You get me scared, I run. And so, anyway, I hope I didn't mess up by saying that. But what came to me was like that he was telling me that I had to be alone. Anyway, I says, oh no, you can't leave me here in the world by myself. I wouldn't know what to do. I can't do it. I just can't do it by myself. And 2 weeks later, I heard from Pat, and she told me that she was her condition. And that's what he was trying to tell me. I was going to lose the last sister that I had that I depended on to be my backbone, because I didn't have a backbone. And anyway, that I was going to be by myself, so I had to be by my. It's like being by myself, because you know you just have to know me better than you do. But anyway, he seen me through. He let me know this, so it'd be easier on me. And it was, I was happy for her. She was going to be with my Lord. And but he said I was going to be left alone, but I'm not alone because I got a lot of Christian friends. I've got, that's the best family you could ask for. There's other things I was going to say, but I don't like to say I don't have time to tell you everything that's happened lately. But I'm not I'm not the same as you think I am. Linda probably could tell you all some things that you could tell that my age is catching up with me. But I've still got a long time, a long ways to go yet, though.
I'm told our lunch is ready, so we're going to dismiss the service. And again, those that are impaired go down first.